This episode of the Walk On Mentality podcast is brought to you by Goodwill Provisions. Are you ready to take your health and wellness journey to the next level? If so, look no further than Goodwill Provisions, your partner in holistic, athletic nutrition. Goodwill believes that true well-being encompasses more than just physical fitness. It's about nurturing your mind, body, and soul to achieve peak human performance. Their provisions range from the mushroom-powered Dawn Patrol superfoods, which go perfect in your morning coffee or post-workout smoothie, to whey protein, creatine, and even CoQ10 to help you stay focused and energized throughout the day. As part of the Walk On Mentality community, you get an exclusive perk. Head over to goodwillprovisions.com to explore their offerings and treat yourself to a healthier journey. Use code MENTALITY at checkout and you'll unlock a fantastic 15% off your order. Thanks for supporting the podcast, and I can't wait to hear what you think about the supplements. Remember, no limits. Are you tired of feeling like your clothes are too tight, uncomfortable, or never your size? What about feeling like you never have the right apparel for the various occasions that you're doing on a month-to-month basis? At the end of the day, you look good, you feel good, and you feel good, you play good. And that's in every area of your life. And if that resonates with you, look no further. I'd like to introduce you to the Roan Commuter Collection. Roan's Commuter Collection is flexible and breathable. There's a product for every occasion. Mobility is everything, and it makes looking good easy. Not to mention, with Gold Fusion anti-odor technology, you never have to worry about your pits reeking. If any of that resonated with you, then my friend, you are in the right place. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday and straight into whatever comes next. So head to roan.com/mentality and use promo code MENTALITY to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to rhone.com/mentality and use code MENTALITY. It's time to find your office comfort. This episode of the Walk On Mentality podcast is brought to you by Powders. Only the good stuff. I'm deep in marathon prep right now with about 4 weeks till I go for a sub-3 marathon at the Houston Marathon. And lately, I haven't been hydrating with anything other than Powders electrolytes. With 500 milligrams of sodium, 5,000 milligrams of coconut water, and zero added sugar, this electrolyte powder is best in class. They've got a great variety of flavors with pink lemonade, fruit punch, and lemon lime. But most importantly, the ingredients are all natural, non-GMO, zero sucralose, and like I said at the beginning, only the good stuff. Powders also has excellent greens powders for daily usage, as well as phenomenal pre-workout for that buzz before you hit the gym for a session. You can use the discount code MENTALITY at checkout for 10% off to support me and the podcast. Remember, no limits. If you're like me, you like to train hard. And if you train hard, it's incredibly important that you take the time to prioritize rest and recovery so that you can come back better. And one of the ways I set myself up to come back better is by rocking the Kane Revive. The Kane Revive is designed to stimulate recovery from the ground up, created for moments of athletic transition, made to support and renew the feet before and after workouts. Kane is made with Bounce Back Foam, a breakthrough biofoam created from sustainable Brazilian sugar cane. The shoes are odor and bacteria resistant, quick drying, and ultra durable. They were developed in partnership with Dr. Daniel Geller, an authority in the treatment of foot and ankle injuries in elite runners, cyclists, and triathletes. Head to the link in the show notes to support the Walk On Mentality podcast and get yourself a pair. Come back better.
Kristen, thank you for joining me.
Hi, Jackson.
So awesome to be here. I was thinking about how you and I met and just the nature of how this all happens sometimes, right? Like you were in Manana with a stand, giving out samples, meeting people, talking about Glow Nuts. I was super intrigued and we connected there. And it seems like, you know, it seems like that was a long time ago. It really wasn't that long ago.
No, it was not that short ago either, though.
Yeah, but excited to be back here with you nonetheless.
And so serendipitous. And like that's whole, like I feel like our whole story is very serendipitous. And yeah, that meeting was awesome. And I'm so happy that, yeah, we connected and we're doing this now. So
yeah, and thank you for the keychain.
Of course.
My little stress donut. It says healthy, yummy donut things. And I feel like that's very kind of on point with what Glow Nuts are, healthy, yummy, and, you know, you talk about serendipitous. I'm curious to why you say the Glow Nuts journey is serendipitous. I have my assumption, but I'll let you.
I think the funny part about our story is that it all kind of happened on accident. So how Glownut started is my boyfriend and business partner, Grover, and I were both working in separate day jobs. I was in sales, working in hospitality at different hotel groups, and he was in tech and doing design and product management for startups. And we were just constantly busy, constantly like working our butts off. And we just wanted to do something together that was like, quote unquote, simple. Mm-hmm. So we decided to start a coffee business because that was like a shared passion of ours. We went with a coffee cart because it felt like a low barrier to entry. So we built this coffee cart. The idea was it would be wellness focused. So everything at the cart kind of handmade, sugar-free, gluten-free, clean ingredients, things like that. And we made Glownuts to go with the coffee. Mm-hmm. And we called them Glownuts because they were made from clean ingredients that help you glow from within. And we start popping up around LA with our coffee cart and our donuts. And they just went viral in Los Angeles. People were really obsessed with them kind of out the gate. They were like, where can we buy these? Do you ship? And at the time, we didn't really know how to ship a cold product because mm-hmm. we are a refrigerated donut. So we just started going door to door in LA, finding some wholesale accounts that we could be in, retail doors, and immediately were like selling out overnight in a few days. And at the time, we were working out of our home kitchen to do this. And in our first year of business, Grover and I made, packed, and delivered over 100,000 donuts, just the two of us.
Oh, my gosh. All in a one-bedroom apartment and driving around L.A.
Yes.
Doing this.
Yes. With, like, wow. Freezers in the living room. I mean, our entire apartment was like a production facility. It was, like, freezers in the living room, the kitchen. We were so lucky when we had moved into that building. Probably like 8 years prior to this, it had like a really long alley kitchen. And we were like, what are we going to do? Like, right. We don't really need all this space, you know? But it ended up coming in handy later on because we were able to put like a bunch of shelf, like our chef prep counters all along the kitchen and just like work out of our home kitchen for the whole first year.
It's crazy. And like you said, it kind of happened on accident.
Yeah.
So how do you go from... I have so many questions.
Yeah.
One is like, how do you go from we're going to make coffee and like, was the process, like was the thought process literally like find the beans and like actually produce the coffee from start to finish? Or was it like, you know, we're just going to have this cart? And I don't know too much about that process itself, but like, you know, the actual process to then come to we're creating our own recipe for these Glownuts and like getting that to work. You know, I've talked with other entrepreneurs who create a food product in the process of developing the recipe. For me, like I'm not really a recipe, like come up with a recipe guy. So like, A, how did you go from, we're gonna have a coffee cart to no, we're selling donuts and fast. And then also how did you figure out what was the right recipe to be gluten-free, keto-friendly, natural ingredients? I think when we first talked, you mentioned that there was some processed food like growing up that you ate and you're like, this is not it. So obviously that's why you went the natural route. But talk to me a little bit more about like that whole evolution, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. So just starting with like the coffee, because that's kind of the inception of the idea, right? It was we weren't really looking at the time to roast our own beans. We were just looking for like more local purveyors and like, you know, coffee roasters. Mm-hmm. So we found one local to LA that we really loved and we started brewing their coffee. I think long term we saw us opening a brick and mortar coffee shop and having maybe a roaster and selling beans. That was kind of the vision when we came up with this idea. Mm-hmm. But how it evolved is, you know, we were just going to sell coffee and we knew we needed to get our average check size up just from a business perspective. So we were like, what can we sell as an add-on to go with the coffee to get the check size up? We started kind of experimenting with different recipes, clean recipes. I'm obsessed with food. I have been obsessed with food since I was born, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I like love cookbooks. I watch the Food Network. I like want to go to every amazing restaurant when I'm in a new city. Like, it's truly like when I eat breakfast, I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch. It's an obsession. And yeah. I definitely grew up in, you know, the 90s when like processed food was just all over the television.
Yeah.
I subscribed to, you know, Hostess and Gushers and all of the like Dunkaroos, all of the 90s like kid snacks. I was obsessed, ate so many of them. And we just didn't know, I think, right. at the time, like how bad it was for us.
It's kind of crazy, the gap, I feel like, because I was in the same camp. I mean, I used to smash Fruit Roll-Ups, Gushers,
yeah,
like all of it. And now I feel like I can feel in my system, even without eating it, how my body would react to eating the way that I did. And it's not like, I'm not saying like, oh, bad, bad, bad. But it's just like, it's insane how your perspective shifts the more information you get and then actually begin to like be intentional about it.
Yeah. I mean, the more intention you put into it, the more you start to feel how good it feels to feel good. Yeah. And when you become aware of that, it's easy to be more selective about like what you're choosing to put in your body. But I think for me, some of the health issues I talked about when we first met was my polycystic ovarian syndrome,
mm-hmm.
PCOS, which is a hormone imbalance. And so in high school, I was, you know, diagnosed with PCOS, and most of the time they just prescribe birth control for it to balance hormones and kind of regulate some of your symptoms. When I was 21, I had a football-sized cyst on my ovary that had to be surgically wow. removed.
That's big.
Huge. Along with my ovary. And it was kind of like, I feel like I kind of buried that whole experience. Mm-hmm. Like I was just like, oh, it's just something that happened to me. And like recently I started thinking more about it and how kind of traumatic it was, you know, like 21 years old sitting there, have one ovary removed, like, you know, a giant like cut in my stomach. And I'm sitting there like going, doctor, like, how do I make sure this never happens to me again? Mm-hmm. And they basically just said, well, you're already on birth control. That's really all you can do. And it wasn't really until my 30s that I started to do my own research, look more into PCOS, and I found that you can really balance a lot of your symptoms with diet and lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect, but it certainly can help so much about how you feel. Like for me, fatigue is such a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, balancing my blood sugar has really helped me feel more energetic. And that was kind of why we decided, or why we made Glonuts gluten-free and sugar-free and with clean ingredients, was really because it was a product for me and it ended up resonating with so many other people.
Yeah. I think one thing I've noticed, the more people I speak to who've started a business or something, it's like at the very foundational level, it feels like everyone is trying to help solve a problem that they once had themselves.
Yeah.
Not obviously on every single scenario, but in a scenario like this, it's like this snack literally is solving a problem that you once dealt with.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think that's really cool and special. So as you go through the journey, so to speak, when did you realize like, all right, we're not doing coffee, like we're going all in on Glonuts? And the other thing is, you know, initially this idea started as, you know, how do you and Grover find more time together? Like, what can you do with y'all's time away from your already busy, taxing jobs to do something together? And it was like a little passion project on the side. But at some point it sounds like there was this like, oh my gosh, like we actually have something here and we need to allocate more time to it. How long did that take? And I know it's been almost 5 years that you guys have been in business now.
Yeah, we started like right at the end of 2019. So a little bit over 4 years. Talking again about serendipity, mm-hmm. It was the end of 2019 that I got laid off from my job.
Mm-hmm.
And we had already kind of, we were working on the coffee cart, doing that on the weekends. So we kind of had that thing going. And when we started getting into, you know, retail doors in LA, like Erewhon and Alfred, the numbers, like what the turns were just so big. You know, like I think a few weeks we were getting like 300 units a week POs for one store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's crazy velocity.
And this is one unit, right? The box is one unit.
Exactly. Okay. And that's like crazy, crazy velocity.
And y'all have to make them.
And we had to make them, and we were making them in our home kitchen, and it was just the two of us. And so when you see something like that happening, it was quite obvious to us that we had product market fit, and mm-hmm. that this was the thing, and that we needed to drop the coffee cart.
Yeah.
And I think luckily for both of us, it was still something we were super passionate about. You know, like I, again, was really passionate about food. Grover's so passionate about design and marketing and storytelling. And so it was just like, it was like easy for us to choose to work on that. Yeah, it just kind of it was one of those things where like we saw it, we pivoted, and then I also feel like at the same time we kind of like got on this treadmill and couldn't get off because right. we just spent like all of our time making donuts to fill the demands. And truly for the last 4 years, we've been hand making donuts. You know, we moved into a commercial mm-hmm. kitchen, we spent our wedding budget on the brand and the new packaging and, you know, put our life savings into it. But we were still like working out of a commercial kitchen, hiring a team, hand making donuts, not able to keep up with the incoming demands. And we've the biggest challenge for us the last 4 years has been figuring out how to scale the manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something it's really hard to do. And like, thank God I didn't know what we were signing up for at the time because I would have never said yes.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, finally we have found a manufacturer for us. We're not physically making the product ourselves anymore. And so now 2024 feels like more of our opportunity to grow the business and have like also a rebirth for ourselves because right. we've been so heads down in this like, you know, production process for the last 4 years and like never apart from each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
y'all been grinding, like
grinding. Yes. Yeah.
Was it, so I realized that you got laid off at the very beginning, which again, serendipitous, like you said, COVID also hit relatively soon thereafter. I'm curious, like in with Grover too, when did he leave his job and yeah. did y'all have hesitancy, were there any fears around like, you know, we both have had these like, you know, stable careers working in hospitality, working in technology, two industries that are very valuable and like not really going anywhere, right?
Yeah.
To obviously, yes, like we have a product market fit, but like when you stepped all the way into Glumnuts, was it scary? And what were some of the biggest challenges you guys faced? Not so much from like a business, true business perspective, but even just from like the internal battle of like, we're really doing this.
I don't know if we ever had that moment where it was like, we looked back and we're like, oh, we're really doing this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a few like moments that I can think of where, you know, I had gotten laid off. I had a little bit of severance. Thank God I actually got laid off before the pandemic, because if I had been laid off during the pandemic, I would not have had a severance. And I was going to take on some consulting work. When the POs were coming in, Grover was like, I think you should maybe consider focusing on this full time. And I was like, but how? Like, you know, right. I don't have a lot of savings. And he was like, I'll take care of us with my savings for now. You know, he was still working, doing contract work for design too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know exactly when we decided he needed to leave, you know, his consulting job, but it was pretty soon after that, like we were in the pandy, as I like to call it. And, yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where, sometimes I don't think anyone really, really understands how hard and how much time we were giving to it. We would, you know, make our our dough for the donuts at night. We call it scooping. We would scoop for hours and then put everything in the freezer, go to bed. The next morning, we would wake up. We would, like, coat all the donuts, package all the donuts. I would go and deliver all the donuts. Grover would stay home and clean the kitchen. At, like, 4 o'clock, I would get back. We would get back in the kitchen to make the dough for the next day. And we would literally do that, like, 6 days a week with no breaks. And it was just one of those things where I don't know how to describe it. I've never felt able to stop. Like, I've never felt able to, the treadmill, like, I could get off. I've never felt that way. I've felt since the beginning like this was something I really needed to do. Like, it was helping people. We were getting messages from people on Instagram and they were sharing and it was all happening organically. And, like, I'm not kidding. People have sent me emails that said that we have changed their life. And I think that's, like, a little bit dramatic. But in a way, I can also relate to that. Like, it is hard when you don't want to, look, every day I want to eat sweets, right? Like, every day I want it. I love carbs. I want to eat, like, all the carbs, all the bread, all the donuts,
same.
Like, all the cake. I want it all. But for my whole life, I've really had to, like, say no to that. And
just so that you could feel good. Not because it was like, oh, I have this restrictive, like, approach, but just, like, I want to feel good in my body. And if I'm going to feel good in my body, like, this is what it takes.
Well, one of the side effects of PCOS is weight gain. And so I had a really hard time losing weight. I was a very overweight child. I was an overweight teenager when I was in my 20s. I was over 200 pounds. I remember, like, getting on the scale and seeing the number and just, like, not understanding how it happened.
Right.
I do think, like, the media and everything has, like, really pushed, like, you know, being thin in our faces since I was a child. But I also was unhealthy, you know, like, I didn't eat well. I didn't exercise well. I didn't take care of myself well. I didn't know enough to,
right.
You know, I was just being told, like, we needed to be skinny, but I wasn't being told, like, we needed to be healthy or why or how to do it.
Right.
You know? When I started making slower changes and, like, yes, the initial desire was to lose weight, why I was saying no to donuts or whatever I was saying no to, it then became a matter of, like, this isn't really about weight anymore. This is about, like, wanting to feel good, wanting to be healthy, wanting to live long, things like that. And that shift in my perspective did help me lose a lot of weight, you know? I think, I don't know.
It kind of evolved. It was like, initially evolved. It was like, I need to lose weight. Like, that was more that, but then it became like, no, this is about increasing my health span.
Yeah.
And yeah, totally yeah. makes sense.
And then again, like, once I did start, you know, eating well, eating clean, by clean, I mean, like, vegetables, you know, right. not eating out of a package, even though these are in a package, it's, like, minimally processed. Being more intentional about that stuff. I truly don't crave packaged food the way I used to, except for Cheez-Its. I do like Cheez-Its. It's the one, like, packaged food I still have trouble saying no to, but everything else I'm just like, eh, you know?
Yeah. I think everything's good in moderation. I mean, it's okay to enjoy the things that you enjoy.
Absolutely.
When did that specific shift happen for you? Like, was it in your 20s before GloNuts, or was it as you started GloNuts and began to really dive into this?
Definitely before GloNuts started. I made a huge shift in my diet. I would say, like, over the course of many years, it was, like, small changes that added up to big results. And eventually I got to a place where I really was just, or am currently, avoiding, like, processed food. You know, I do avoid gluten most of the time. I mean I still have it on occasion, but, like, for my day-to-day, it's not, like, part of my daily diet. And then sugar was, like, a really big one to cut out, because I think we don't really, like, most people don't know how many things are sugar, you mm-hmm. know. It's like we just look at like processed cane sugars being sugar, but it comes in so many more forms than that. It's really impossible on labels to like decipher what's sugar and what's not. High fructose corn syrup, you know, even natural sugars like honey and fruit juice and things like that are all, you know, when it's super concentrated, it can have an effect on your blood sugar. And for me, when my blood sugar spikes, there's a crash. Right. And when there's a crash, that's when I don't feel well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when I'm tired. That's when I need to take a nap. That's when my stomach hurts, things like that. And so learning all of that kind of led me to making GloNuts because there wasn't really anything on the market. Sure, there was like there were a lot of better for you products coming to the market that had way better ingredients, but you know, the amount of sugar in the product was still high, even mm-hmm. though it was a natural sugar like maple syrup or coconut sugar. It still was like, you know, 15, 20 grams of sugar per serving. And that's just like, it's kind of a lot to have all of the time or right. every day. And I think I really wanted to provide a product, again, for myself, like a sweet treat that I could have every day. It's mini, so like I can eat one and feel satisfied. It's dense. So again, it just like feels like enough, you know?
Yeah. How'd you land on monk fruit?
So monk fruit sweetener, we decided to use at the time because, again, not maple syrup or coconut sugar that was going to add a lot of grams to sugar or a lot of grams of sugar to the product. We also didn't need to use like a lot of it. I think monk fruit sweetener can be overused and stevia can be overused. And when they're overused, you get that aftertaste. Mm-hmm. Our product is made primarily of coconut. And coconut has a lot of natural sweetness to the product. And so you don't need a lot of monk fruit sweetener to enhance that sweetness. It's just like a little bit to give it like the powdered donut effects, or like the snickerdoodle kind of sugar, cinnamon sugar effect on the outside. Mm-hmm. But not enough to like, you know, make you taste it
right.
Or if and when it's again like everything in moderation, right? Like if you have way too much monk fruit sweetener or way too much stevia, you're probably not gonna feel great either,
right?
But this has 2 grams, and so it's just like enough to enhance but not cause any like negative side effects.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about the actual like formulation of the product, creating the product itself. Came from hospitality, grower from design. Coming into the CPG space and talking to Whole Foods, Erewhon, Sprouts, these other stores, did you know much about the process for getting your product on a shelf? Or has it all very much been like, you know, fly by the seat of your pants and like figure it out as you go?
I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I knew how to sell because I was in sales for 15 years. Mm-hmm. But I've also never considered myself like a salesperson. You know, I feel like I build relationships. I'm transparent. I, you know, like to make people happy, feel special. Like, I feel like those are the things that I do well with sales. I'm not necessarily like very strategic about it. Mm-hmm. But I knew also like I'm very persistent. And so I knew how to find the right person to talk to or how to get to them eventually. Mm-hmm. I knew how to follow up and be persistent. And so we just kind of did that, you know, with retail accounts that we were interested in being in. And then we also just relied a lot on our relationships with founders. And that's something that I've really loved about the CPG community is how open other founders are to talking to you and helping you build your business because they know how hard it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many components to it too, especially if you're like self-manufacturing. But yeah, just people really willing to give advice when asked is kind of how we've figured it out.
And who was your first reseller?
Our first one was Erewhon.
That's like
yeah.
the big, that's the big place in West LA. Coast, right?
Yes. And when we got in, it was very different. I think it's, different in that it was a little more mom and pop at the time. Mm. They've definitely become so popular, and it's incredible to see what they've built. They've built an incredible brand, and truly, I love Erewhon. I shop there all the time. I love their hot bar. So it's really cool to see how they've evolved. But when we got in there, it was a lot more like made in a home kitchen type products and like locally sourced type products.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because I just learned about Erewhon within the last probably 7 or 8 months. And not knowing that background about them being kind of like a mom and pop vibe early.
Yeah.
I would have assumed that it was just like had always been this powerhouse, which I guess is kind of a naive assumption, because most things start off as the mom and pop shop and whatever they're doing. Do you remember what that process was like in the conversations that you had with the buyer or whoever the person was to actually get some units on the shelf and like what that process
was? So it was hard. Our story is, everyone's story is so unique and different. And I think I'm going to answer this question directly, and then I'll tell you like also how it should be done. Now that I've learned.
Right.
I mean, when we started, so for Erewhon specifically, we would literally go into the store, we would find a grocery manager, and we would just be like, we have a product that we want to put on the shelf here. Like, who do we talk to? Uh-huh. You know? And then he told us who like the name of the buyer was and what their email address was. And so we reached out, and we literally reached out to the buyer. Like, I was in her inbox like every week at least. And just kind of like drip campaigning her, like, look at all the things like people are saying about us. Like, this is how many units we just, you know, we were in like one little coffee shop before Erewhon. And so we would just be like, look how many units we sold at this like coffee shop in one day. Things like that. And she just never responded to me. But then going back to that serendipity thing, we had our coffee cart at an event. Mm-hmm. And so being in hotels and hospitality, I had like a lot of event contacts.
Yeah,
so we had our coffee cart at one hotel was opening in West Hollywood, and we had our coffee cart at that event. And I remember also they ordered glow nuts for this event. And when I got the order, I called Grover and I was like, how are we ever going to make 600 donuts tonight?
Tonight.
Like, it was like, oh, I think, gosh, we had like 3 days to do it, but I was like, how are we ever going to make this 600 donuts? I like, don't know. And we did like everything. That's the other thing is like, everything that happens or like everything, you're like, how are we possibly going to do this? And like somehow you just do, you know, like somehow you just figure it out. So we're at this event with our coffee cart and we're watching people eat our donuts. And this woman comes over and she's eating a glow nut, and she's like commenting about how good they are. And I was like, well, we made those. And she's like, these are your donuts. And we're like, yeah. And they're sugar free and they're gluten free. And those. She's like, they're that. She's like, oh, my God. Like, have you given these to Erewhon? And we're like, we're trying to give them to Erewhon. They won't respond to us. And I met with her later after the event. I brought her more samples, and she was like, I am friends with someone over there, and I'm going to give this to them, and we're going to see like what happens. And yeah, they literally called me the next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something in that story that is just like, you mentioned it earlier when you were talking about your sales career, but just like treating people well, building relationships, doing things the right way. It's like that, it feels serendipitous, but at the same time in my mind, it's like that was exactly what was supposed to happen. Cause like you just did things the right way. And still to this day you are, but like y'all were working insane, like
yeah,
going so hard, trying to make an impact. Like it was, never have I ever spoken to you and it seemed like this was some play to like try to crush it in some way. Like it was just like, no, we're really trying to like serve people and have this like better option.
Yeah.
So that people can enjoy sweets and yeah, like enjoy the things that I know I've got the sweetest tooth on the street. Like I love sweets. And so, you know, knowing that you can eat a box of these and not feel horrible after it really is impactful. And it's funny you mentioned like people saying that you've changed their lives. It's like, maybe it feels crazy to hear that, but like, I think that's a very real statement.
I mean, I get it as someone too, who like, there are products on the market that have truly changed my life, because like, I wasn't eating sliced bread or bread at all for that matter for many, many years. And then like, Unbread came along and like, they have this frozen sliced bread and it's like low carb. It's made with like clean ingredients. Mm-hmm. It's like, not everyone loves it, but like for me, I love it. And right. It's like changed my life. Like I can have avocado, I can have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you right. know? And like, it's so good. And it fills that void for me, mm-hmm. you know? And I know it's doing that for other people the same way. Like we are filling that void for everyone that walks into the coffee shop and like looks at the pastry case and wants to eat a donut, but is choosing not to for whatever reason they're choosing not to.
Right.
You know,
how about working alongside, your partner? And like, I mean, you guys and were living in this place that you were working together, you know, working six, basically whatever 6 times 24 is on this. And then it sounds like maybe one day to kind of like recharge.
I don't even feel like we've ever really taken that day to recharge. And that's really bad advice. I don't recommend doing that. But it was like, and even when we were in the commercial kitchen, it was like we were at the commercial kitchen 3 or 4 days a week. But then, you know, on the weekends, we were demoing at Whole Foods or, you know, spending other time, you know, reaching out to buyers or fundraising or doing accountings. Like there's just always something to be done, mm-hmm. Even if it's not physically making the product. So we're really, really bad at taking breaks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you all the stuff we're bad at.
I'm ready.
We're really, really bad at taking breaks from work. It's hard working with your partner. It's mm-hmm. really hard working with your partner. And he and I will both admit that openly. I just think we have a very unique relationship. And like we've been together for 10 years. Not yet married, but we'll get married eventually. Mm-hmm. We again spent our wedding budget on the brand.
Yep.
But we also like when we met, we were each other's like first serious relationship. When I met him, I felt like he was just gonna be in my life forever. It was one of those like really like crazy feelings. I just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
We're best friends. I can't go a day like I have to just talk to him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I like we just like love each other so much, but we fight a lot and it's hard to like remember to take time for each other, and it's hard to even like sometimes listen to each other the way you deserve to be listened to. But I can say something that's been helping us recently is like both of us started going to therapy, individual therapy,
mm-hmm.
And that has I feel like it's been transformative for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he started a little bit after me, but he's starting to see a positive change too. So I think kind of like trying to take care of yourself first is important. Because if you can't take care of yourself, then you can't really be there right. for anybody else, you know?
Do you think it's just both of you being, I mean, y'all are co-founders, right? Mm-hmm. Both probably highly intelligent, driven, type A, and like wanting to like call, like make calls and move fast. Do you think it's because there's that nature within the dynamic and you guys both just need to be able to like slow down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we both have different work styles,
mm-hmm.
which is not great, and also it's good. It works. It all works. You know what I mean? But we are different. Like I think that I like to work by myself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Grover's more collaborative. I used to think I was a perfectionist, and then I met Grover and he is like to a T a perfectionist. Like nothing is like ever done for him. And, mm-hmm. but I have to like be the one to be like this, we have to put it out there, and you're never going to be proud of like everyone says that. You're never going to be proud of like the first version of any product you put out there.
For sure.
Maybe not even the second or third version, but you have to put it out there. Like,
yeah.
You know, and so that's, I'm the one who really is like, it's got to be done. It's done now. Like, we got to move on.
Yeah.
But he's revised like all our decks like 3,000 times. Every time. Well, I'm good,
because you don't have to, right?
Yeah. So yeah, that's helpful. We are good at different things.
Yeah.
But I also think the one thing I wish one of us was like really, really good at is operations. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably good at operations, but I don't like operations. And so that's kind of like the piece we need to fill, is like finding that person for our team that's going to be really great at operations, so that Grover and I can really focus on the things that we are better at and also enjoy.
Yeah. That was going to be a question I asked, is like, mm-hmm. going from just you two doing everything,
mm-hmm.
How big is the team now, and how do you delegate those responsibilities, and how has your focus shifted as you've been able to pull back a little bit more from the hands-on in the kitchen work?
Yeah, I mean, that's still very fresh for us. You know, we really just got rid of the commercial kitchen in November.
Oh, wow. And, very new still.
Yeah, and then it was the holidays. We actually went and saw our family for the holidays, yes. Which was nice.
Amazing.
So it will be this year again is like kind of our rebirth. So it'll be interesting to see like where we each really end up kind of like owning in the business. But it's still just the two of us.
Oh, okay.
I really do focus on the sales. I'm overseeing the operation and the sales. He does the finance and the storytelling, all the design stuff, social media. We haven't put like a lot of effort into our social media because we haven't had time.
Mm-hmm.
We also like really didn't want to be blandy, and we wanted to, you know, share our personal journey of building the business, be more transparent. So we do like a little highs and glows series on our Instagram where we talk about like the ups and downs of running the business in kind of a quirky, fun way,
yeah.
Which people really love. So we're looking to do more content like that, but it does take a lot of work to write that content and film that content. And
mm-hmm.
So he handles a lot of that stuff too.
What's been the most recent highs and glows?
Oh man, there's so many. It's like every day, but that's kind of the beauty of it, right? It's like, I don't even feel like there's good or bad days anymore, because there's good and bad in every single day.
Right.
But gosh, like, I don't know. We just like one of our ingredient suppliers, like we just found out went out of business.
Oh.
So now we have to find a new ingredient supplier. What's a high recently? I feel like we got some really great like investors/advisors recently that for me, like, they're women I look up to in this world, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Tara Bosch from Smart Sweets.
Yeah.
Recently invested in Glownuts and is an advisor. Vanessa Dew from Health Aid Kombucha, co-founder.
Wow.
Of Health Aid Kombucha.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, invested in it as an advisor for us. So those were like really big wins, I think, for us to have, you know, founders that like built their business to be massive national, international businesses, and believe in us to yeah. be able to do the same thing. Like, nothing feels better than that.
A couple questions came to my mind as you were sharing that. You know, one, did you ever envision doing something like this? Like, obviously the coffee cart was the start of the idea, but did you envision that scale? You mentioned opening a brick and mortar coffee shop. That's very different than having a national brand.
Yeah.
And then when you have kind of your, I don't want to say idols, but just people who you really respect and look up to,
yeah.
who are saying like, yes, this is great, we believe in you, we want to be involved in some capacity. Does it sometimes feel surreal? And like, you were telling a story before we started about, you know, going to Foxtrot and buying your own product. And is that like a, man, look at what we've built.
It's funny because I don't think we do that enough.
Yeah.
I don't think any founder does, where you like look back and you're really like aware of what you've built and are proud of what you've built. And we are, you know, like I think we've a few points, like everyone kind of does it when they go through the new year process, right? You kind of look back at like what you've accomplished and what you want to accomplish. And we are proud of ourselves. But yeah, I've been thinking, everyone says like life's a marathon or like being an entrepreneur is a marathon. And I recently had this like realization where I'm like, it is. And like the thing about a marathon is when you're running the marathon, you can look back, but you really only see like the last mile, right? Like if you're running 25, 26 miles, you don't see all 26 when you look back. You only see like the last however many yards, you know?
Right.
And it's like, it's sometimes hard to remember to like everything that it took you to get there, right? Like it's hard to remember every single mile that you ran, but every mile is an accomplishment, you know?
For sure.
And getting to that finish line is an accomplishment. And I want to like be more conscious about recognizing like the little wins and celebrating them, because they are important and it is what keeps you going and motivated. But yeah, I mean, I never, to answer your other question, like I don't think I ever saw myself doing this. Like really didn't. I liked my career in hospitality. I did. I just felt like I was working really, really hard for someone else and not like seeing enough, I guess. I didn't feel valued as much as I'd like to feel value. And so that was kind of the shift of like why we wanted to start our own thing. And when we wanted to start our own thing, like the coffee, I think we did see like potentially like selling beans, roasting beans, and maybe selling those on a national level retail. So I think we saw kind of like that big picture or opportunity. But then once we did start working on Glow Nuts, it was very obvious how we could be like the better for you version of Hostess and what that market size was and the opportunity from a business perspective, but also just like wanting to exist for everyone and give them a better option, you know, not take away the other stuff, just like have an option, you know, that is better, that will make you feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what you said about the marathon is really so true. And I think in anything, any worthwhile endeavor, it's like, it's so important to remember the process and every step along the way, and celebrating those tiny wins ultimately builds momentum and like is honestly encouragement to keep going. Cause if you're only focusing on like the bigger picture, I'm sure sometimes it's easy to get like overwhelmed, but when you can break it down into kind of bite-sized steps, it's like, okay, this is more manageable. I can do this. And you just build that confidence.
That's the other thing about this whole process is like we've never done this before. We've never made a food product or, you know, built a brand from scratch. Everything that we're doing is the first time that we're doing it. And so it feels so hard. Yeah. It all feels so hard. But then you get past that thing that you've been, you know, just like consumed by for the last however many months.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look back and you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I could do that again. No problem.
Yeah. Everything seems big and scary until you do it. And then you're like, what else can I do?
And everyone too is everyone's just figuring it out. Also, like, yeah. I think comparison is something that everyone deals with. And when you're a founder, you definitely like compare your brand to others. And you're like, why haven't we done this? Or why aren't we that far? But I'm trying to like keep my blinders on and, you know, really like, like not think about that and just focus on what I'm doing. But yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier your contacts in the event space.
Yeah.
I'm curious, do you have a favorite event that GlowNuts has been at a booth or table in, and just want to hear about that event?
Well, only because it's top of mind. I went to this Warrior Woman workout event this morning here in Austin, and it was, I called Grover after. I was like, I could move to Austin. So I was like, this is like, it was just so beautiful. It was the most beautiful. It's weird to like call a workout beautiful, but it was just like so inspiring. So many women that were just so supportive of one another, so welcoming, like great listeners, wanting to help in whatever way they could, encouraging each other to, you know, be stronger. It was so inspiring. And Danielle also, we did this exercise before starting the workout, and it was really, really impactful for me. Because basically we did this exercise and we had a partner, and she said, I want you to tell your partner what you need. Ask for what you need from your partner today. And she's like, it can be anything. You can ask for a hug. You can ask for, you know, a compliment. You can ask for whatever you need. Just ask for it. And I thought that was so, what's the word? I'm blanking on the word, but it was so inspiring because as women, I feel like we don't ask for what we need enough. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, ask our partner for what we need, not our family for what we need. We don't ask for what we want in our careers or what we need in our careers. And, you know, Danielle gave us the permission to do that today, and it felt so empowering. And I just asked my partner, I said, you know, what I really need is for people to support my business. And so if you could support it by, you know, sharing it on Instagram or following us on Instagram or buying it if you see it or telling a friend that's gluten-free about GlowNuts, that's really what I need right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I've dealt with this, like, I guess, internal guilt where it feels like self-indulgent to ask for that kind of support, you know. And I just like really loved that she gave me that power to do it. And yeah, now I feel empowered to do it more. And so that was a beautiful event to be at. We had GlowNuts there. The girls all took GlowNuts home. And there's been other amazing events that we've been a part of too. We had GlowNuts at Burning Man, and I don't, they're, the list is yeah,
that's so but, cool.
Yeah.
I think when you were trying to figure out which word to use, I had no idea what the word was, but as you started talking, it came to mind, like it felt like you had permission.
Yeah.
And I so agree with you. Like it feels, I don't know if uncomfortable is the word, or I guess you use self-indulgent. That feels on point for like asking somebody to support your business or buy something or
yeah,
tell somebody about it. I totally get that. But I, a thought that often comes to my mind is like, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Yeah.
And that's in anything.
Absolutely.
So that's really, really cool. And I'm so glad that you got to go to that and are here. Super special. I have two more questions.
Yeah.
I recently went to a dinner where there was a prompt sent to us the evening before. So this is maybe a little unfair to you because you didn't have the prompt. But
okay.
The question we got asked was, what is one thought that you have that most contemporaries, your peers, your family probably doesn't agree with? Do you feel like you have a thought that is like, you just feel like most people around you think you're crazy for thinking that?
Yeah, I do think that a lot of people think I'm crazy for not eating sugar or gluten or like being very, you know, conscious of my diet. I think that they, you know, maybe sometimes don't believe like how it makes me feel, you know, and I think mm-hmm. a lot of people don't feel believed, or kind of going back to my health, you know, journey, like not being believed by doctors or like having pelvic pain. And, you know, now it's like because of the ovarian cysts, like anytime I have pelvic pain, I'm like, is it happening again? You know? And so plenty of ER visits where they're like, there's nothing wrong with you. So yeah, I think it's kind of those things where like, this is, I am having this experience, you know, and not believed.
I think that's really important. My girlfriend has celiac disease and so much of what we talked about just makes me think of her because she's so intentional about what she puts in her body. And I think even early on in our relationship, I probably did not even really understand, but the longer we've been together and the more, frankly, I've just eaten food that like she's consumed, the more I see a major difference. And also just like, I think you are right to a degree about like, people don't always listen. They don't. And that could be more than just in a health context, but like really just for anybody, like if you believe something or need something, again, like you said a second ago, like ask and don't suppress feelings, whether it's health, emotion, whatever, like don't ignore everything that your body is telling you.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. And yeah, I think maybe as a man, maybe just myself, I don't think I took it very seriously for a long time. I was like, oh, I have an iron stomach. I can eat whatever I want. I don't care, but it's real. So I get it. And then my final question is, if you had a piece of advice to leave the listeners with, you know, this is all about, the Walker mentality is all about betting on yourself, believing it's in what's possible, and also doing the work to achieve your goals.
Yeah.
What would your advice be to the audience leaving the show?
I think my advice is always like, just start. I think a lot of times people are afraid to take the first step because they feel like everything needs to be kind of so thought through. And I'm not saying like, you know, just do everything on a whim. You know, I'm not saying like empty your bank account and like start a business, but like find like the smallest way you can start working towards a goal. And like each little step will add up to big ones. And sometimes, you know, you'll end up taking a different fork in the road and finding your true passion or like your calling. But I think like the important part is starting, and just not being so fearful of like, what if it doesn't work out? In fact, to kind of like piggyback off of that, I think this past year, I've kind of, come to terms with the fact that I'm no longer afraid to fail. In fact, I think failing can be important because you can learn so much from failure. And I've started to, like, I love weightlifting and working out, and I started like associating it to like a workout where like if you're lifting weights, you lift until you fail, right? Because that's how you see growth. And it's the same thing in life too. Like, if you fail, you will grow from that failure, and you can do something bigger and better after.
That's great. Yeah. I always think of growing pains like a child's bones growing and how it hurts. I really like the lifting till failure analogy. That's great. Well, awesome. Where can listeners find you and Grover, Glow Nuts, like whatever the best ways are to get with you or the product? Where do they go?
Yeah. So on social media, we're at Eat Glow Nuts, EAT Glow Nuts, GLONUTS. And you can find us on Instagram and TikTok that way. It's still a 2-person team, so it will be Grover and I that answer. And then in stores here in Texas, we're at Central Market, Foxtrot, Manana, where we met, and Tiny Grocer. And if you're outside of Texas, we are in Southern California. We're in Whole Foods. We're in Foxtrots all over. you can always check our website and our store locator to see what's close to you, because we have a lot of like little mom and pop stores around the country.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Good. Good. Yeah. And to the listeners, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Walker Mentality Podcast, and we will see you on the next one.